tell that he was captivated by the scene of that little newborn sleeping child. And she was touched by him standing there and staring at that baby, and she moved behind him and slipped his arm around him and said, "Honey, what are you thinking about?" He said, "I just can't understand how they are able to make a crib like that for $89. So people are situations where follow things differently, and people are admirers on various different reasons. Here we see a lot of people crowding around Jesus, calling out, "Hosanna, save us, O Savior." And they were all in a celebrant mood, joyously following that parade through Jerusalem, the streets of Jerusalem. Were they admirers, or how many of them were followers? Admirers are also called fans. We see a lot of fans around us. I don't have to tell you about the various games and the football fans, the American football fans, the NFL football fans, baseball fans, and movie fans, car fans. I mean, you name it, you can see fans everywhere. They want others to know that their hero or their team, and they will announce it on their car, their house, the yards, and everywhere you go, you will see their banners or flags flying around to announce them that they have a hero or a team that they are rooting for or supporting. I recently read that people have fragrances and scents that they wear on their body to honor their heroes. Fragrances are named after their heroes, and they wear those fragrances, and based on their smell, you know that that particular person is a fan of a particular celebrity that is named after that perfume. Whatever that is, fans are there to cheer you when you are doing well and good. And we see that in the sports a lot. When the team is doing well, you see a lot of people cheering, and they are on your side, on that side at that time. And if the team is not doing well, then you will see some of them like fade off, and then they don't even watch the TV anymore after that if they lose certain games. And now when we come to followers, we look at our social media lately. We have a new set of followers we can see. We see followers on Facebook. We see followers on Twitter. And recently the Catholic Church posted an announcement that if you follow Pope, they are trying to encourage the young generation to follow the church. They are trying to give them some incentives to follow Pope online. And if you become a follower, the priest will send you a special prayer for you that you will be forgiven certain sins that you have done. So they are trying to give more followers by giving special prayers for Pope. So, depending on the flavor of the day, followers and fans, followers on the online, on Facebook and Twitter, they change depending on the day. Fans are very temporary, particularly when it comes to sports and games. Our society has become a popularity-oriented society. We love to admire fame and power. It is natural that a large crowd decided to follow Jesus because they heard about him doing a lot of miracles. And he preaches really well, and he fed the people who were hungry, 5,000 of them, and 7,000 of them another time. And he actually performed many miracles. So they were following him because they knew that he was a great miracle worker. He can do a lot of things that we can't do. Gospel writer Matthew clearly sees in this event a fulfillment of prophecy. Particularly, he quotes the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9. We read that the king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on this day Jesus rode as he was riding on that donkey, people were calling out, "Hosanna, save us." The background of the story, as we read in the chapter before as well, that Jesus asked his disciples to go and get a donkey that was available in a home. And they went and brought the donkey and created a makeshift saddle and put their clothes on it and made a little place for Jesus to sit on. And Jesus then rides this donkey into Jerusalem. The crowds have grown to hundreds and thousands because it was the feast of the Passover. A lot of people have made pilgrimages to the city of Jerusalem, and there were thousands of people, and they all started gathering together as this procession was going on. And they were calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us." So as the procession was going on, the pilgrims or the people who gathered around them had a different thought in their mind, or an expectation or a hope in their mind, that this Savior, this King who is riding on a donkey, is probably going to be the Savior who came to deliver us from the bondage of the Roman government. Rome was ruling Jerusalem and the Jewish people at that time. So that's what they're saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" Some people said, a prophet who comes from Galilee. And they still did not get who this person was as the Messiah. They were calling him a prophet or a savior who came to save us. And they were calling out, "Save us, save us," thinking that he will be saving them from the bondage of the Romans at that time. The event lifts all the people of God when we think about the Palm Sunday. Matthew points out that everyone was not on the bandwagon at the same time. There were people who were actually puzzled by this. So there were people who actually followed him, and there were people who were just fans who just dispersed off after that. But how many of them really did stick with them through the rest of the events that followed during the end of the week? Jesus picked up a huge crowd of fans, basically. A fan is simply as defined as an enthusiastic admirer. Such people or fans see what they want to see in their hero of the day. What the crowd saw in Jesus was the son of Joseph and not the son of God. They wanted another reformer. They wanted another Messiah. When we live our lives in this world and celebrate these festivals and Palm Sundays and remember the rest of the week and celebrate Good Friday and Easter, it's time for us to reflect on our lives and see, as Christians, are we a fan or are we a follower of Jesus? The followers of Jesus will stick with Jesus' path on the streets of Jerusalem all the way to Calvary. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. There was a huge crowd at that time. And when there was no more food, he asked his disciples to give them food. And they had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that Jesus took and blessed, and we know the story of feeding the 5,000. And after that event, the next day, some people came back looking for more food. You read that in John chapter 6. And that's when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of me will never hunger, whoever drinks of me will never thirst again." And we read that from that point on, many who had been traveling with him no longer followed him. So they saw the miracles, they ate the bread, and they came back for more bread. And when they knew that that's not about physical bread that we eat for our hunger, but it's about spiritual hunger that Jesus was going to fill in their souls, a lot of people stopped following him. So there is this distinction between those who were traveling with him and those who were following Jesus. I read a book called Not a Fan by an author called Kyle Eidelman. He says in that book that fans want to be close enough to Jesus to be associated with him. You want to be close enough to get the benefits, but don't want to get so close. And those people that they don't want to follow Jesus so closely that when it becomes, there is a requirement for a sacrifice of time or energy or even costing them their lives, those kind of people will wear off and wander off, and those are fans. And he says in his book about the statistics that he studied that 75% of Christians are only fans and they are not followers. And then he studied the other religions. He studied the Buddhism and he said 52% are followers. Only 48% are fans. So when, and also he compared it to Hinduism where 50% are fans and 50% are followers. As compared to Christianity, 75% are just fans and only 25% are all just followers. So when we look at our faith and our following of Jesus, during this time to remind or reflect on our lives and see if we are a fan or a follower. Why do we celebrate all of these things? Fans like to be comfortable and they like convenience. And we by nature, convenient and comfort seekers are human beings. But Jesus draws attention to the fact that there was a man who came and asked Jesus that he wanted to follow Jesus. That we read that in Luke chapter 9. And he said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, look, you cannot follow me wherever I go. And he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. The man, we don't know if that man ever followed him or not. He probably was a comfortable fan who wanted to travel with Jesus. We don't know anything about him after that. To another, Jesus said, another man came and asked Jesus, Lord, first let me go and bury my father before I follow you. And then another man said, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And to all of these people, to one, he said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told all of these people. These people were just convenient fans who want to be with Jesus and don't want to get close enough so that they don't have to sacrifice anything. In the Gospel of John, we read about Peter asking Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot me follow now, but you will follow afterward. And then Peter said, Lord, why can I follow you where you go? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And we know the rest of the story. So fans are people who like convenience and comfort. And when everything is okay and everything is convenient, they follow. And when things turn bad, events turn around hard, they turn around and leave. And as Christians, we are called to be followers and disciples who stick with Jesus all the way to the cross. That's when we have the victory of the Easter that we can celebrate. Some have tried to make Christian life more convenient, choose to practice Christianity only on Sundays. They give a little small offering, and it is nice to be around church so we can have a social gathering. Nothing that requires any effort. That way we can be what we want to be for the rest of the week and then have a Sunday to celebrate as Christians. But that is not what Jesus teaches us. We want to be followers throughout the week, throughout the year, every day of our lives. To be followers of Jesus, to reflect Jesus in our lives to this world, to share His love, to share His compassion, wherever it is needed. Following Jesus is not a life, not just a fashion, but it's a lifestyle that changes our behavior. Next Sunday, as we plan to gather again, it's going to be Easter, but there is going to be a Good Friday and a Way of the Cross in between. Are we ready to follow Him through that? Or are we going to be deserting Him as the rest of the crowd did? Let us not forget that the road Jesus traveled led not directly to Jerusalem. It went through the streets and corners where He was mocked and tortured. And He had to struggle through the Garden of Gethsemane. And then He ended up carrying the cross through the streets all the way up to the Calvary. But there were some people, some women who followed Him all the way through, and they were the ones who were at the last leaving the cross, and they were stuck, they stuck with Him all the way to the cross. And they were the ones who actually saw resurrected Jesus first in the morning. The ones who stick with Jesus through the cross will see the resurrection first in the morning. The triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem is a sign of God's entry in our lives as well. As we celebrate the Palm Sunday, we are proclaiming the arrival of Jesus into our hearts. The crowds proclaim Jesus' triumphant arrival by spreading branches of trees on the road. When we accept Christ, we proclaim the good news to the world by sharing with others our witness, our life, our love that God has shown through His Son Jesus Christ. On this Palm Sunday, we all can celebrate and proclaim the day Jesus entered our lives. And we look forward to a glorious Easter. Even though the path is painful, God is going to be there with us and leading us and guiding us and traveling with us. Particularly during this time of this pandemic disease that is spreading around the world. This Lent and this Passion Week mean a lot to all Christians. This is the time to step up and show the world that there is a God who cares, and there is a God who still is in control, that we believe in Him, we trust in Him, and share that love and blessing to people who are in need. Let us go with that word in our hearts, that to follow all the way to the cross, through the pains and sufferings, so that we can have the victory of Easter on the Resurrection Day. May God bless you with these words and be a blessing to this world through these words. Amen. The closing hymn is Palms of Victory that will be played, and we'll have a closing prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank You for giving us this time together to worship You with all the saints around the world. Thank You for blessing us with this time. As Your children, we can come to You at any time and any place where we are. We thank You for blessing us with Your word today as we celebrate the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Your Son Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Help us, Lord, to celebrate the entry that he made into our lives, so that we can be a follower and not just a fan, so that we can be a follower of your way all the way up to the cross, and then partakers of the power of resurrection. As people of resurrection, we can show that power to this world, to change the world. Particularly as we go through this pandemic, Lord, bless us with your courage and trust that we know that God is in control and you will have a solution to this problem at the right time. Bless us with your presence as we go from this place to be a blessing to others, especially people who are in need, who need our support and prayer and our witness at this time. Give us your grace as we continue the journey through this week, and bless us, Lord, as we reflect on the Passion Week, the cross that you carried, and the pains that you suffered, and the death that you took up on the cross of Calvary, and the resurrection power that you have offered us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord. Help us to be faithful witnesses wherever we are, and protect us with your protection and grace every day until we see each other again. In Jesus' name we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore.